I'm not a loser, but sometimes I do loser things.
In the event that this fails, they'll never be able to come to me and say, hey, remember that podcast you did that didn't go so well? No, that was our podcast. We did that.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to episode 23 of the In My Own Words podcast. I'm your podcast host, Tony R. Sanders. Happy Sunday, everybody. Hear my round of applause, man. 23 weeks in a row. It's a long time, man. 23 weeks in a row is a long time to do anything, really, other than just like breathe and regular bodily functions. So super glad to be here with you guys for the 23rd week in a row. And you guys know I record on Saturdays, right? And so this Saturday is a special Saturday because it's my birthday. Yes, I said birth. I love, first of all, let me get a round of applause for my birthday. I love when I get the text messages and the tweets and posts. It's like, oh, you mispronounced that word. I don't care. I really don't care. Yeah, talk to my English teacher. It's probably not their fault either. But yeah, it's my birth. The day I was birthed, this day, 32 years ago. 32 years ago. It's funny. So I've been getting text messages all morning and I had to do the podcast now because more messages are going to come in as, you know, the day goes along. And I didn't want to cry before the pod. So I figured I'd do the pod now before things get really shaky. I got some messages, man, today that it's just like, oh my gosh, like the love is real. Like the love is really real. I got somebody that hit me up today and asked me for my SoundCloud. Nobody's asked me for my SoundCloud in years. You know what I mean? It's just like people are the love is real if you're asking me about my music. Yo, happy birthday, by the way. Love your music. Fam, I haven't put out a song in 5 years. I haven't put out a record in 5 years. And what's really crazy is when I really wanted y'all to listen to my music, nobody ever asked me for my SoundCloud. When I was actually out here rapping, nobody ever asked me for my SoundCloud, ever. And now they're like, yo, you were cold. Bad Religion is my favorite song ever. Like, fam, you never listened. You never listened. But shout out to the people that did listen, though. It was a lot of people that listened. But like, man, they got me out here thinking I'm nice. Should I do a record for my birthday that I missed an opportunity? You hate when you miss an opportunity, right? I'm looking back on it like, well, that's an opportunity. Should I drop the record on my birthday? You know, 32 like magic, not life so tragic. I'm trash. I got dad raps now. Like if me and my kids are in the car and a beat comes on and we're riding around and I can rhyme, you know, stoplight with hot pipes. And if I could do that, that's all I got right now. I don't have bars. Like someone's like, yo, I'm working on an album. I want you on a song. I'm like, you actually don't want me on a song. You want me 5 years ago on a song. Me today would ruin your song. Like if you want your song to be successful in any shape, form, or fashion, you don't want me on your song. I can guarantee you that. My rap lines are trash. Like I used to be good. I'm not gonna lie. I used to be good at rap. I used to feel like I had the opportunity to be something special. I feel like I had an opportunity to really create a community around the type of music that I love to create. I don't think I was like the rapper that would ever go mainstream and you would see all over your TV screen. But do I think that I could have, you know, sold enough music and merchandise and done enough shows to be okay? I think I could have. But I also noticed that the closer I got to some of those things, you know, paid gigs and all this stuff, it started to mess with me creatively. And this is not, I don't even know how we, this is not what the podcast is about at all. But it started to mess with me creatively, right? And so when I would go into a song, initially I would go into a song saying like, you know, what story do I want to tell? What emotions do I have right now? What type of vibe do I want to get off? When I started to see the transactions coming, I'm thinking, okay, what song would this individual need to hear to give me $5? And that's not how I wanted to create, right? And I saw, once I knew that, I saw other people that were in my circle people that I love, that I care about, that are my friends, some of them that I've even talked to recently, and I saw that they were still in that mode where they're like, this is life, and I'm going to make a living from this, and I'm going to, you know, do this. Then I knew I had to step out. I had to get out of the way because I don't love it the way that y'all love it. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that I don't love music. I just don't love it the way that y'all love it, because y'all can do it and get paid for it, and it doesn't compromise the integrity of the art that you want to create. I saw a dollar and was like, yo, what you want me to rap about? You want me to spit what bars? Piper and diaper? Got it. Be right back. And it just wasn't like it. It didn't have the same feel. It didn't have the same integrity. It wasn't even as fun to do those things. And so, but yeah, anyway, I went way off trail here. I want to shout out to everybody that's listening, man. I was listening to my homeboy call me, and we were talking about analytics, right? And understanding your data when you're creating content. And I was telling him, I looked at my data for this podcast, right? And so we've been doing this podcast for 23 weeks. I keep saying we. There's no we. There's two cameras, one mic, and one guy. That's the only we. And two lights. I have lighting in my living room. There's no we. I don't know why I keep saying we. I don't have friends to pod with. But I've been doing this podcast for 23 weeks, and it's interesting to look at the analytics. Now, I don't necessarily look at the numbers per se, because the numbers aren't big enough to be relevant, right? I need to look at them as far as if they improve from week to week. I need to look at them as far as if I'm getting better, I'm getting a different reach of people. What I'm more interested in looking at is where people are listening from. And that was the conversation that we had. And so when I saw that, it was like, man, I need to make sure that I shout out those people. And so if you are listening to this through Spotify, through iTunes, or wherever you like to listen to your podcast, I want to say shout out to Thailand. Some people listening from Thailand. Shout out to the people in Canada, UK, Switzerland, Sweden. And there was one more. Let me see if I can pull it up really fast. I should have did this in pre-production, but there's no pre-production, so I didn't. Let me see. Analytics. Oh, here we go. UK, Canada, Sweden, Ireland, Australia, India, Thailand, and Switzerland. Shout out to all of you guys. And of course, shout out to everybody listening to me in the United States. And I want to shout out to everybody watching this on YouTube. I want to shout out to everybody who didn't know I had a podcast until I started doing videos. It's like people that follow me on Instagram. I've been putting up the cover art for podcasts for 20 weeks in a row, and they've been watching it and liking the post. And I put up a video and they're like, yo, you do a podcast? Why didn't you tell me you did a podcast? Fam, I've been telling you for 20 weeks. I've been telling you for 20 weeks that I do a podcast, but it's all good. I love to see how different things capture people's attention differently. So shout out to all of you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in another week, especially this week being my birthday week. I'm super excited. People keep asking me what my plans are. And the truth is, I don't know. There's only a couple of things that I plan to do. I plan to make the attempt to relax. I don't know if I'm actually going to be able to relax, but I plan to make the attempt to relax. And as a husband, as a father, when you have four children, when you have a wife, that's all you could do. You could just make the attempt. You get credit for this. This is the only time you get credit for the attempt. You can make the attempt to relax. And so as soon as I get done with this podcast, I'm going to attempt for at least about 30 minutes just to relax and intentionally not do anything. Now, truth be told, that probably won't happen. But it won't be because of my kids, and it won't be because of my wife. It'll be because of me, right? I'm going to think, oh, I got to get this podcast out. I got to do the video editing. I got to do the audio. I got to get everything posted, cover art, yada, yada, yada. Next thing you know, it's going to be 2 hours later. It's going to be time to leave and go somewhere. So, but I mean, I am committed to making the attempt. That's number one. The number two thing I'm going to do is not make my wife upset. Now, here's the thing. She has birthday plans for me. And as you know, fellas, back me up on this, fellas, in the Instagram comments, in the YouTube comments, in the Facebook comments, fellas, back me up on this. You know that if you get upset and you have a bad day, that's all that happened. You had a bad day. I'm sorry about your luck. You had a bad day. If your woman gets upset and she has a bad day, the whole house is going to have a bad day. And so on my birthday, all I want is to have a good day. And one of the key components to me having a good day, what goes into this formula of success of me having a good day, is making sure my wife has a good day. She said something earlier that I thought was a little weird and a little sketchy. And I'm like, nope, not going to mention it, because if I mess up your day, it's going to mess up my birthday. And selfishly, I don't want to do that. So that's the second thing that I've committed to today. And then I was voluntold that I'm going to someone else's birthday today, a kid. Now, listen, I love kids in general. I love this kid in particular. It's a family member, my little cousin. Like, I love her, but I don't want to be at Chuck E. Cheese or the Bounce House or wherever we're going. I don't even know where we're going. I only get 24 hours. I already slept some of them away. I don't want to be at the Bounce House for my birthday with the kids. And so I did ask Michelle if it was cool, because you got to do that if you want to have a good day. I was like, oh, yo, is it cool? Would it be like disrespectful if I brought my laptop? Someone be editing, clipping things up, putting things together while I'm at the birthday party. It's going to help me get things done so I can free my mind for later. And then it's going to also occupy my time while I'm at the birthday party, while kids are running around. I'm going to just pretend that those kids aren't there. I'm going to have my hotspot on. I got my laptop, the MacBook. Everything's going to be sweet. So those are my plans for today. And then after that, Michelle is throwing me some type of birthday surprise. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's going to be. I've tried to get hints. She hasn't given me hints. She said, let me know what you're wearing. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to wear until you tell me where we're going or what we're doing. And she gave me like, oh, wear something athletic, but casual, but dressy, but modern. I'm like, what are we going on, a African casual dinner safari? Like, what's going to happen? I need to know, are we going rock climbing? Or are we going to a nice little dinner spot and kick back with some vino? And like, I don't know what we're doing. And so I think I'm just going to try things. You know how you try on outfits and based on your girl's response, you know if that's the one or not? I think that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm just going to put something on and she's going to say, you're wearing that? And then I'll say, no, I'm not. So that's my plan. It's so funny. I need to do a podcast one day about things women never say. Like, my wife has never told me, babe, you need to take that off. Or, babe, you need to put something else on. She has never told me that. She just always asks questions around, hinting around, like, I need to change my clothes. That's what you're wearing? Where are you going again? What's the dress code where you're going? Even if she's not going with me, like, she'll ask questions around, like, what I'm wearing. And not exactly saying don't wear that. Another thing that women never say, you will never hear a woman tell a man you're right. Just think about it. When have you ever heard a woman look at a man and say, you know what? You're right. This is what women will say instead. You're not wrong. What's the opposite of not being wrong? It's being right. Say I'm right. You can say it. I guess I don't disagree. Then you agree with me, which would make me right. like, come on. Anyway, I'm off of that. It is my birthday. It is my 32nd birthday. 32 down, 68 more to go. Listen, I got an agreement. I got an agreement that I'm going to live to be 100. That's what me and God talked about. I don't know what your agreement is. I don't know if you've had this conversation, but I'm going to live to be 100. So I got 32 down, 68 more to go. We'll get into that conversation a little bit later. But 32 is my Magic Johnson year. Magic Johnson for the Lakers. He wore the number 32. And that brings me right into something that I've been dying to talk about in a new segment that I want to introduce on the show. And this new segment, I think, I'm still working on it. I think I want this new segment to be called Keep That Same Energy.
For one, you have to see me when you come to the window, so you better have the same energy.
Keep That Same Energy is going to be a segment on the show where I take people, this one is going to be myself, and I show how we change our energy constantly, how we feel one way about something today, and then completely different energy a day, a week, or two, or a month later. Now, I, for one, think that that's a good thing. I don't think that you should have the same energy at 32 as you did when you were 21. I think that if you do have the same energy, you're probably not growing. You're probably not developing. There's probably some things going on. Now, I also think that in this reaction culture that we live in this outrage culture that we live in this right now, react now, give me your opinion now, respond now, say something now type of environment that we live in, we can also be very judgmental and jump out of the window on certain things before we have all of the information. And I will tell you, that's exactly what I did when it came to Magic Johnson. Now, I'm not going to go through the entire story of how I became a Lakers fan. I'm not going to go through the entire story about what happened, but I will say that Magic Johnson this week, I believe it was on, let's see, April 9th, which would have been Wednesday, I'm guessing, Wednesday or Thursday this week, Magic Johnson decided to quit his job in public on camera, like called a news conference and just said, yo, I'm out. I ain't talked to my boss. I ain't talking to nobody. I'm telling you first, I'm out. It is the equivalent of an individual like myself going live on Facebook or Instagram or Periscope to quit my job without telling my employer. Like, that's what it would be like. And I want to read you this tweet Adrian Wojnarowski at Woj ESPN wrote. He said, Lakers coaching staff fully expected to be fired in hours after the final game of the season. They had believed they were gone for months. Now, Magic quits in public, saying he's too scared to tell Jeannie Buss face to face. What an embarrassing episode for a historic franchise. Now, let me tell you, I am a Lakers fan, and Laker fans are fans of any team. Fan is short for fanatic, right? But Lakers fans are especially crazy because we have gotten used to being victorious, right? Ever since you can't tell the story of the NBA in nearly any era and not mention the start or the end of a Lakers dynasty. You just can't do it. People forget, like before this LeBron run where he went to every finals and whatever, it was Kobe's run right before that. Like the 2010 championship was Kobe's last trip to the finals. 2011 is when LeBron's historic run started. They had the Nike commercials back in the day with the puppets. It was actually Kenan Thompson and David Allen Greer doing the voice of the puppets. And it was about LeBron and Kobe meeting up in the finals. And Kobe was there and LeBron just couldn't get there. Right. So the Lakers fans, like we're starving for a victory, but it hasn't been too long. And so when Magic came back to the Lakers, that was a big sign. Like, oh, we're about to get it done. With Magic being there, he has a lot of cachet. He's loved and respected by the players in the league, even though maybe he's not resume-wise great in the front office or great at, you know, president of basketball operations or whatever. He's a face and a name with a lot of respect, a lot of cachet, and can definitely bring athletes to the table. And he did. He brought LeBron James. And so even though we weren't able to woo a Paul George, or we weren't able to get Anthony Davis, we weren't able to get Kawhi Leonard the way that we wanted to, a lot of things kind of fell through, even if it was only momentarily, right? Still an opportunity for AD and Kawhi to come to the Lakers, although I think it's highly unlikely. I think it was cool to have the comfort of knowing that you have a champion in the front office, a champion on the court, and the other things we could figure out. When Magic quit, unexpectedly, completely unexpectedly, I lost it. Let me tell you, I'm going to read to you some of my tweets that will show the energy I had when I heard this, right? So my first tweet was just a facepalm. It was just a facepalm emoji saying, yo, I don't even have words for what's going on right now. Like, I am such shock and disgust and disbelief that I can't even muster up an articulate sentence or word to describe how I feel. Literally just a facepalm. The next one was this. This almost ensures the Lakers aren't going to get any top free agents, 200% over. I don't exactly feel that way anymore. I don't exactly have that same energy anymore, because I do think we may still get an AD. I do think that we may still be able to weasel out another star or two. Now, will we get the superstar, the likes of a KD or a Kawhi or a Kyrie? I think those chances have gone down because, one, it's already a little bit of a circus to play with LeBron. Let me be real. It's a lot of a circus to play with LeBron. Two, now it looks like we're having a lot of front office issues. And no one wants to play for an organization that has on the court, off the court, and front office issues. It's just too much, right? That's why the reason why the Knicks haven't been able to effectively recruit a superstar of note, because the James Dolan guy is going crazy, right? And with the Lakers at this moment firing Luke Walton, can't talk. But before that, having him on the staff too, everybody didn't necessarily believe in him as the coach or believe in him as the coach to get us to the next level. So that was out of here. Then someone tweeted and said, Magic Johnson, shaking my head. It's hard being a Lakers fan, bro. I swear. And I replied back in all caps, I swear. And then Kerry Champion tweets, does this make any sense? And I type back in all caps, no, absolutely no. It doesn't make any sense. And then I typed this. I tweeted this 3 days ago at 9:53 p.m. Magic off his meds. I tweeted that. Magic off his meds. That's what I said. Someone tweeted and said that Magic couldn't face Jeannie and at least help her figure out the best way for her to exit is incredibly unprofessional for such a renowned businessman. I retweeted it and wrote, classless. That's me, Tony, a guy in the middle of nowhere from nowhere, retweeted someone else's tweet about Magic and called Magic Johnson classless. What else did I tweet? I tweeted at the Lakers like they were paying attention to me. Like they cared and was going to be like, oh yeah, Tony, you're right. I tweeted at them and said, at Lakers, we need answers now. Like right now. I will tell you that people were messaging me, texting me, because they know I'm a Lakers fan. And I told several people that I wanted to punch Magic Johnson in the face. Like, literally, I wanted to ball up my fists and punch him in the face.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That was the energy that I was on. Now, I want to call this segment Keep That Same Energy, because let me tell you the energy that I'm on today. I have never been more proud and looked up to Magic Johnson than I have right now. With all that being said, with all that I said, all the anger that I had, all the frustration that I had, I've never been more proud of Magic Johnson. Let me tell you why. I work a 9-to-5, right? I am, it's not a technical 9-to-5. I have a flexible schedule. I love what I do, yada, yada, yada. But the long and short of it is I work a 9-to-5. Monday through Friday, I'm at work every day working for a living. The goal for me, and I'm not saying this is a goal for everybody, the goal for me is to transition out of that in a way that I could be financially independent without a job. Whether that means more YouTube subscribers, see that plug, make sure you check out my YouTube page. Link is in the show notes. More content created, sponsorship, a business venture, you know, saving up money, what investments, real estate, whatever that means, right? I need to get out of here. I feel like the movie Madagascar, but in reverse. You know how in Madagascar, when they actually took the lion out of the zoo and put him in the jungle, and he was like, I don't belong here. Like, I don't know. I don't even know how to really survive here. I feel like a lion that was in the jungle and they put him back in the zoo. And he's like, yeah, I'm about to go kill my food. And they're like, nah, we're going to bring it to you right at 1:30. The food will be here. Like, what? That's what a job feels like to me. It's like, oh, okay. And people are just going to stand around and watch this and I don't have to kill nothing. You just, all right. And you can easily get lazy, right? So I'm looking to get out of the zoo and back into the wild. And when I think about that, you hear all these concepts of people having FU money, right? Being able to just go to your job and they say one more thing. And I'm like, you know what? FU, I'm out. That's the goal. That's what people want to do. That's what I'm aiming for. I want to be able to have that situation to where if it ever gets beyond what I want to handle or what I'm willing to put up with, I could just say, no, nope, nope, nope. I'm done. I'm out of here. That's exactly what Magic Johnson did. He did exactly what all of us would want to do if we could. You got to think about this. Magic Johnson is a whole billionaire. Like a whole billionaire. He didn't take the job with the Lakers because it was going to raise his star status. He didn't take the job with the Lakers because it was going to put more money in his pocket. He didn't take the job with the Lakers because he needed a job. This is Magic Johnson. He took the job with the Lakers because he loves the Lakers, he cares, and he thought that he could make a difference. And I think what happened and what he said was it was impacting his lifestyle. He has such a good life. He said that several times. I have a good life. What am I doing here? Why am I ruining my life by just being here? I don't have to be here. This is the funniest part of the whole thing. It wasn't funny at the time. I was super upset. I posted it on Twitter and on IG. But looking at it now, here's the funniest part.
And the people walking here, we've been talking about next year, and I'm sitting there saying, I'm not going to be here.
Think about that. You sitting in your boss's office. And they like, yo, I got this project I want you to do next week. This other project coming for you next month. And another project the month after that. And you like, I ain't going to be here because I don't have to be. I don't have to work a job. I don't need to be here. Now, we say that all the time, right? Some people say that they think I need this job. They better watch out. You do. You still need it. That's the only reason why you're still here. That's the only reason why you're still here is because you need it. You need it. Don't play yourself. You're not Magic Johnson. But I couldn't believe how hypocritical I was being and how I didn't keep the same energy because he did exactly what I would want to be able to do. I'm not mad at Magic anymore. Magic is a Laker for life. That's still my guy. I still look up to him as a businessman. I don't know what else to say about it. Like he did exactly what you would want to do if you could. You would want to go live on IG at your desk. He's still in the building. That's what I like. Yo, when you really think about what Magic Johnson did, it was really gangster. He's still in the building. The CEO, the owner, they upstairs somewhere. He's still in the building. Like, yo, I quit. I don't work here no more. I got a good life. I don't need none of this. I love you, Jeannie. You my sister. I'm out. I don't care. I'm done. I am done. It is over. It is finished. Like, I don't know. I just like that. I respect that a lot. I think that was really, really dope. And I think I was a fool forever, you know, questioning Magic Johnson and what he was doing, what he was trying to do, what he was trying to get accomplished. You know, while he was doing his thing in L.A. And, you know, the man's a whole billionaire. Like, what do you want him to do? What do you want him to do? I want to move to our next segment here. And like I said, it's my birthday. I'm about to get out of here soon. This won't be a 1 hour, 2 hour podcast. This is going to be a pretty quick podcast. I want to go enjoy my birthday, relax and do all those things. But when you look at the memorial of Nipsey, right? And I know I've talked about Nipsey for the last 3 weeks and, you know, I promise I won't continue to do it that way. When you live such a life where you had this great of an impact, it's kind of hard to not talk about it, right? But when I think about his memorial, when I think about the conversations that I've had with my friends lately and, you know, having my 32nd birthday, I know this is going to sound morbid, but I couldn't help but to think about my own mortality. Now, I'm not afraid of death. We all got to go. What I'm concerned with the most is how I go. Like, there are certain ways I just don't want. I don't want to die. I don't want those to be the stories that are told of my passing. And I also don't want my last few seconds on earth to be something really crazy. Now, let me knock on wood. I'm not saying in any way, shape, form, or fashion that I want to die or that I'm ready to die or any of those things. I'm just saying that death is imminent for all of us, right? That's the only thing that in life you can count on that's predictable is everyone that comes here is going to leave here eventually. And I've been thinking about, like, what would be some of the worst ways to go? I definitely don't want to go at the hands of another human. I think I'm pretty clear on that, right? I don't want to, because the impact of that is so grave, not on me, but on your family and your loved ones. And I've always been of the belief that, you know, death is hardest for the living. Think about that for a second. Let me break that down. Death is hardest for the living. Regardless of what your faith is, right? Let's say that we remove faith in Christianity, spirituality, Hinduism, Buddhism, whatever. We remove all that from the conversation. We don't know where the spirit of Nipsey is or the spirit of our loved ones who have passed, where they are or if they are. All that we know is that they're no longer here with us. And for us, that sucks. To a certain extent, right? I had a conversation with my family members last weekend about my mom passing away. And a lot of them said one of the hardest things is, you know, she's gone, but I'm still here. And that's tough, right? Oh, I think I hear Michelle coming in the door. Yes, Michelle is coming in the door. Hey, babe, you gonna come say hi to the podcast people on camera? One of the hardest things, you know, for having someone pass away in your life is that you're still here and you still wake up every single day thinking about that person and thinking about what you would or wouldn't be doing if they were still here. And that's just a difficult hurdle to overcome. And so when you pass at the hands of someone else, another human, it's hardest for the living because a lot of the living are thinking and wondering, how can I get back at that human? Let me go find that person that did that to my loved one and do something to them. Let me put them in the same position that I'm in right now, that my friend is in right now. Basically, the point that I'm trying to make is when someone dies, the emotions and the pain that we feel aren't necessarily for that person. It's for the people that are still living, the people that are still alive, that are still here, that have to deal with the hurt and the pain and the loss of someone. So to lose your life at the hands of another human being is just a horrible way to go out. So I definitely don't want to go that way. If I had to go, and we all do have to go, there's three preferable ways that I would want to go. And I'm going to give you those three and we're going to get out of here. Because like I said before, I want to go enjoy my birthday. The number one way would just be in my sleep. Like, just want to take a nap and wake up in heaven with Jesus. That's what I would like to do. If I had to go, and we all have to go, that's exactly the way I would like to go. The other one would be, and this is going to sound crazy, an attack by a wild animal. Like, that would be a cool, at least if I got to go, at least let it be a cool story that my kids and my grandkids can tell. Man, you know, my granddad fought a bear with his bare hands. Now, he lost. He didn't win, but he did it. And I saw the bear, and the bear didn't look good. Man, my great-great-grandfather got in a fight with a black panther, and the panther won, but he didn't look good. At least if I got, you got to go, right? You at least would want to go in a way that's like a cool, like manly, masculine story. Like, yeah, it was a baby and he was trying to save the baby. And then when he ran up to get the baby, and just an alligator appeared out of nowhere in the middle of Indianapolis, and he wrestled with the alligator and tore the alligator's jaws apart. But there was a lion nearby, and a lion came up and he fought with the lion, and the lion got patches in his mane because he was so strong, and he pulled the hair out of the lion. But then the lion won, but it was a good fight. Like, at least that one would be, you know, optimal. And then the last one, the very last possible option would be just a complete, like, quick, oh my gosh, like you blink and it's over. You blink and it's over. I wouldn't want to feel any pain. I wouldn't want to feel any agony. I would want to be just like, oh, it's over. Right? Literally a blink and then it's out. I'm saying all that to say, it's very important your last seconds on this earth and how you remembered on earth. That's what I've been thinking about with, you know, with Nipsey and with myself. Like, how do I want to be remembered? How do I want people to think about my legacy when I'm no longer here? How do I want my family to respond? How do I want to set them up? You know, we think about setting our family up, you know, financially, but how are they going to be set up emotionally and spiritually when we're no longer here, right? And I know it sounds like a morbid conversation, but it's an important conversation to have because we all have to go one day. And when you lose someone that's close to you or you lose someone that's significant in your life, you can't help but to consider your own mortality, right? And it's a conversation that we don't have enough. We feel like, you know, you can't have that conversation because it's a bad omen, or you can't have that conversation because it's an unspoken truth that you can't ever speak about, you can't ever speak on. And that's crazy. Like, why would we hide from ourselves in that way? Why would we not address a conversation that we know is going to impact our entire life and impact everyone that we love, right? We need to have this conversation to figure out, like, what we're going to do while we're here. Like I said, I fully and firmly believe I'm going to live to be 100 years old. I got 32 down and 68 to go. I fully believe that. And so now that's a test for me to say, what am I going to do with these next 68 years to make sure that even after I'm gone, I can live another 68 years, another 100 years, that my legacy continues, that I leave something for my kids and for my kids' kids, and not just money in the bank or a house or thing like, what am I going to leave to my family spiritually? What am I going to do today to make sure that I add to my legacy and continue to grow and develop and impact people the way that I need to? And I'm thinking about that with all the birthday messages that I'm receiving. Some of the things that people are saying to me, I know they're saying it because it's my birthday, but just to even have that type of impact on someone's life is really, really dope. I just think that's really, really dope. And so it makes you think about, you know, what am I going to do between that birthday and that last day? What am I going to do in between that's really going to make a difference, that's really going to have an impact? I think that that's an important question that we should all be asking ourselves on a regular basis and checking in with ourselves, figuring out how are we going to live our lives in a way that impacts people. Super important question. Before I get out of here, I want to say one other thing. I be right a lot, man. I be right a lot, and I want to start getting my credit for being right. One of the main reasons I wanted to do this podcast is to put some of my thoughts and predictions on record so that they live there. So when moments like this happen, I can come back and say, I was right. I told you so. Think about this. Episode 5, I said this. I'm not saying Friends isn't a great show. I'm not saying that the actors and the actresses that participated in the show, the writers, the producers, the entire thing, I'm not discrediting any of those people. I'm just simply using this as an example of how when you're a creative, especially a black creative, you have to be twice as good and three times as lucky to receive the same opportunities. That's me in episode 5 of this very podcast, the In My Own Words podcast. It's titled, Why Can't We Be Friends? And it's talking about the very scary similarities between Friends, the show Friends, and Living Single. And basically how it's another example of how black creatives are being whitewashed, taking our ideas, the same things that we've said and done before, and giving it more opportunities, better marketing, better platform, all because they're white and we're not. That was 18 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Erica Alexander, who was Maxine Shaw, attorney at law on the show Living Single, she had this to say on Instagram.
Well, the difference between Friends and Living Single is one of marketing and skin color. What does Paul Mooney say? They have the complexion for the protection. That's a lot of truth to that. Listen, it's just how it was. If you were on a show that had a black cast, you weren't seen as a show with a black cast, which how I like to say it. We had a black cast. They saw you as a black show.
They saw you as a black show, and you didn't have the complexion for the protection. You didn't have the pigment for the opportunity. And so I just want to say, man, listen to the podcast every week. I'm going to give you some bars. I'm going to give you some stuff that when you look back on it later, you're like, yo, Tony was right. And when I'm right, I want my credit. I want my credit. I may never hear it from a woman saying, yo, you was right, but I could at least hear it from my podcast friends, my buddies, my audience saying, yo, I was right. That's it for this week, guys. I appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you check out my YouTube page. Please subscribe. I'm uploading videos there every single day. Yes, I mean every single day. The link is in the description in the show notes, no matter what platform you on. You can also just go to YouTube and type in Tony R. Sanders. Check out our In My Own Words Facebook page, facebook.com/In My Own Words Podcast. And I will see you guys right back here, same time next week. Peace.